Can you log in because we don't have the overall microphone system set up here? And we want to make sure we get this recorded as much as possible. You are logged in. Okay. Why is my voice fine? But can you unmute?
Just in case it makes a lot of horrible noise. Are you good? Or is it echoey or everybody's all good? Okay. I don't know. All right. So let me pull up the attendance sheet really quickly. Oh no. Uh-oh. Now that I think about it, is it need the right attendance sheet?
I need it. No. Okay.
Nah, we're in trouble. It was in meeting materials.
Under the, yeah. That should be in here. There it is. Here we go. I thought I did.
Wrong. Okay. Open this online. All right. That being said. Now we're going to start. Oh, we got a fancy haircut. I see you. Okay. Oh, you know. I'm here for it. Okay. So let's go down the. How do I not zoom this so quickly or so close? Because I can't actually see the names.
I certainly use women. I was working to make sure that. Yeah.
There we go. Oh, move that back over. All right. Chris Dawson. Tammy's not here today.
Tammy.
Okay, well, we're going to check out the two sets. So we're just going to keep this moving. You have to do this. What do you mean? Lay additions to the agenda. Lay additions to the agenda. Are there items that are not currently on the agenda that would like to add to the meeting? That's what I'm going to do. You want to do that in your committee update?
Sure.
Okay, good. All right. Next is approving the minutes from 8/17. Are there any motions at this time? Is there a motion to approve the May 17th minutes? Is it effective? Is there any seeing none, the minutes are approved. Moving on to community reports, this is not going to be trustee report, and then
and I'm looking at all of the
Would it be okay to use a microphone and pass it around? Because then.
That's going to be fine.
Here's Sarge.
That's going to be
good. It is. I can turn it up.
See yourselves in the background. So folks, because it's going to take a while to pass the microphone around to people whenever they want to speak, it might not be practical. So when you're speaking, if you could be voiceless, that would be great to make sure that everybody can hear you. Anya, do you mind getting on Zoom? So maybe we have a couple space around and people can hear. So just make sure you're not muted, but you sure. Make sure there's no output, but make sure there's an input from your microphone.
All right, fantastic.
So we're gonna move on now to the employee election question update, which I'll just combine with a report from the chair, because it should be basically the same thing. So as you all know, we had the
meeting with the board trustees
on floor commencement. And that was a time for the EA to give its annual report. And we went over in our previous meeting what we would be talking about, did a mandate to give the example of transportation and kind of harp on that as a sticking point, also more so from the perspective of a quality of life, cost of living issue at Cornell and making sure employees are actually engaged in some of the major impacts of decisions that have a major impact on employees at the institution. So part of that conversation, as we just talked about in exec for like the first time ever, we got a question and a comment. a question from one of the board members about what communication was like between administration and the employee population. And then the chairman, Bob Harrison, actually two recommendations that were put forth about creating a committee on the workforce and adding an additional employee elected trustee. He actually asked that those things go through the EA as a resolution formally so that their committee on composition and governance could review it and take it up formally for consideration. So as a result, that's what's on the agenda today. So those are the basic outcomes of that meeting. Gina, you were there. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I would actually. I'm going to take this for the record. The exceptionally well. For the record, he was not only represented the EA and the employees, the community very, very well. It was an engaging presentation that talked an awful lot about not just the evolving workforce and the dynamics to make sure that Cornell is poised to grow and fall, but the needs really advocating for these two recommendations. I've said on a lot of your sessions, this is the very first time I'm seeing Bob Harrison as the chair actually request something from one of the members. Typically, you get your time, you do your thing, there's plus and applause. But this was a very active engagement, and I think great compliments and kudos to you, Lindsay, so thank you.
Thank you, but no comments. Thank you. Michelle?
The presentation looked great. I don't need a mic. And one question that I wanted to ask is, because it
Traditionalists? Oh, I actually didn't put the years in there. Now that I think about it, I probably should have. It's people who are older than baby boomers. So, and if you go on the, I guess it's only an HR, it's an internal HR thing. I was gonna say, if you go on the HR dashboards, you can see the breakdown by years, but I have to remember that that's not, yeah. Is it before 46? Yeah, it's a very small population that's left on campus. But yeah, great question about that. And then other questions or thoughts on that? So in the future, I guess one of the things we were gonna try to do, two things we're gonna try to do in the future. One would be, say this nicely. yes, go ahead.
The tickets for the open session are open to everybody, and I think it's not only so that you all can see how the assembly is being represented by the chair, in this case it would be with me, but when we make the call to say anybody interested in the tickets for the open session, really, if it's not mandatory or really strongly encouraged for the executive committee, I can't encourage you as members of the assembly strongly enough to attend. It's an hour out of your day, 3 days, three times a year. But it's an opportunity to really support work in this case, the report in front of the board, but also show them the engagement that the staff community has. So if you find that it's not convenient for you to get the ticket, we're happy to help. Really, you're not just making a plug at the time, but to try to use that into the narrative of some of the things that.
That's strange because I know we definitely talked about it. Can you unmute yourself? Yes. And Gina, do you mind signing into Zoom? Trying to strategically place things across so everybody can, so we're picking up all the sound.
Good, sorry. So, if I missed it, I apologize. I normally go support because I know how important it is to have people there.
It's nice to be able to point out, look at how, like we were talking about employee engagement, that was the whole purpose of the presentation, and then we weren't really, we said, look at all the employees back there who are here because they want to be engaged. Kristen, Gina, and Pamela holding it down for the people. But it was still great to at least have the discussion with the trustees and see that they were actually interested in what we were talking about. The second thing is going forward, we'll try to do kind of, I guess, even a mock presentation of sorts, just so if there's some really good feedback or there's some other things that you all want to actually include in the presentation, we can do that this go round. And so hopefully when we do the fall and the spring, I think we had the one session with the executive board or the executive committee of the trustees. Is that again in the fall or just in the spring?
That's in the spring.
Just in the spring.
There will be a TCAM, there is the fall meeting.
Okay. Perfect. Can you unmute yourself, Gina? I'm not hosting it. Gina, can you unmute yourself, please? Yeah. All right, great. All right, so if there's nothing else on that, fantastic. We're going to move on to the next item, which is business of the day. So we have two resolutions up for consideration. The first is resolution one, adoption of the 2017-2018 standing rules, sponsored by our resident parliamentarian, Pilar Thompson. So if you want to unmute yourself and go ahead and give us a kind of brief introduction of this, and then we'll go into, and if you want to touch on the things we talked about during exec for people to consider. You're muted. There you go.
Hello?
Oh, my sound is muted. Hold on.
Is that working?
That's better now. Yeah, I had.
Hold on. Try now.
Is that working?
Yep.
Okay. Sorry. The room does not have the best audio.
There you go.
The best audio system. So I wasn't able to. I can't pick up too much, but aiming to. So sorry, Ulysses. Can you go ahead and just and repeat and start back up? Hey, oh, there's everyone. Hi.
So essentially, we want you to provide just a brief introduction of the standing rules.
Yes.
And then anything, if you want to talk about the point, I guess, Gina brought up during our exec committee.
Do we have anything up or no? Or do they, and I'm assuming everyone has it printed?
They have it printed in front of them.
Okay. So let me go. I pulled up mine. Sorry, guys. I've got my main computer than this. It's tons of technical fun today. So today in the exec, which again, I did do through Zoom as well. So I apologize for that. And then Gina and I joined in a little bit later than the rest of the group. We initially were looking at some points of discussion, specifically F, so 2F, which I believe, for me at least now, it's coming up as 61, but it would have been 65, line 65 on yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And that was where we were going to go ahead and change, let me pull up the old one because I've got the different one. So currently what you'd see for your printout in your hand would be the executive vice chair must post the agenda to the employee assembly website no later than noon on the Friday prior to the meeting. Okay, we're going to go ahead and we're striking out noon, and we're going to go and just leave for Friday in order to facilitate the Office of Assemblies to getting it done dependent on their day and their schedule. But with Jeremy's comments, one of the main things we did want to add was then the details that the executive vice chair must post the agenda the Wednesday prior to, so 1 week, so the Wednesday prior to the next meeting.
And I've got
call to the agenda, sorry.
And I've got some language for that.
Perfect, Jeremy, go for it.
So the language, and I'm looking at a full replacement of F because it's including the current language, which is the executive vice chair must make a call for new agenda items to the EA list at the beginning of the week prior to the EA meeting with a deadline for submission no more than 1 week prior to the meeting. The agenda will be distributed to the EA list and posted to the website no later than Friday prior to the meeting.
Right.
Might want to put that executive committee reviews on the Thursday.
On the Thursday of it, yeah.
In the middle there.
Yeah.
With the deadline for submission no more than 1 week prior to the meeting, the executive committee will review and approve. By Friday, the agenda will be distributed by Friday.
Yeah, we'll review and approve. Say by Thursday.
Thursday is the approval.
Yeah, Thursday is the approval.
End of day Thursday.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then your last line still applies.
And then the last line, the agenda will be distributed to the EA list and posted to the website no later than Friday.
All right, so the amendment in full that's being proposed is as follows. Say that one more time for the people.
Jeremy, one more time, Article 2F, please. Yep.
The executive vice chair must make a call for new agenda items to the EA list at the beginning of the week prior to the EA meeting, with a deadline for submission no more than 1 week prior to the meeting. The executive committee will review and approve the agenda by end of day Thursday prior to the meeting. The agenda will be distributed to the EA list and posted to the website no later than Friday prior to the meeting.
Yes.
That's the amendment on the floor. Is there a second?
Second.
It has been seconded. Any dissent?
I don't have a dissent. I just got a question.
On the amendment itself.
Yeah, why don't you go very specific like this and just make it a week prior to or something? Because if we ever change your date next year of when we're going to meet, and this whole thing needs to be amended again.
And the standing rules are to be amended every year.
Every year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because a different assembly would have a different practice.
Right.
And there have been multiple requests from different venues to codify what we currently do as in practice. And this is really what we already do in practice.
Yep. All right. Seeing nothing else, I'm going to call the amendment to question. Call for a vote. All those in favor of the amendments.
Favor.
Looks like a majority of me. A million majority.
Me too.
All those opposed. Yes, I got you. Don't worry. All those opposed. Any abstentions? Fantastic. The amendment is approved.
Yay.
Back into general discussion. Go ahead, Pilar.
No, I said yes. Sorry.
Oh no! I was saying back to the resolution.
Okay.
Back on you.
And we had D. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Were you there for?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, sure. So you mind if I just go?
Please
ahead?
Go for it.
Go, Jeremy. Thank you.
Article 2D. There's a motion to strike for no more than 30 days before
line number.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Line number 53. Beginning on line number 53. Striking for no more than 30 days before introduction to the general EA meeting and approval by the EA.
Oh, that one, yes. Yep.
Leaving the line to say, prior to the introduction of a resolution as new business, all resolutions shall be reviewed by the appropriate EA committee, period.
Period, yeah.
Approval by the committee shall be a majority vote of the committee members present and continuing on from there.
Yeah. Sorry, Jeremy, I couldn't hear you well. I was there for that. Sorry, I apologize.
That's all right.
Perfect.
Can we give the rationale?
Yeah, so I think what seemed to come from exec was that having a maximum cap on it was preventative to having a very prolonged and thorough discussion and having a resolution be vetted properly. Jeremy gave the example of the accessibility resolution in the UA, which actually spent about 3 months being revised and reviewed by multiple committees. And so the rationale here, and then of course some committees only meet monthly. So that also was a problem. So this, you had something else to add? Oh, we're good. But this is good. But the thing to take away from this for sure is that every resolution needs to be reviewed by a committee before it comes to the floor of this assembly to make sure that the staff population generally is able to participate in the policymaking process, right? And that we're not just coming up with stuff and throwing it out to people. So you should also note that it specifies what approval is and how that needs to be by a majority vote of the committee. But that doesn't mean a committee must approve a resolution for it to go to the floor. It just needs to review the resolution. And if the committee does not approve of the resolution, it must provide or has concerns as it is written in there, it needs to provide the rationale for why it doesn't approve of that, or if there are things that it talked about that they feel need to be discussed at a general meeting, then that needs to be provided in writing, right? So that everybody is aware of what's going on and we're just not trying to make up a reason for that. And so if something is gonna die, as Rob said, if something is going to die in committee, then somebody's here to eulogize it.
Mm-hmm. Is presenting it today, and then we
You can approve that today. So this is being presented as business of the day, and it, and both of these resolutions were reviewed first by the executive committee. So because of time, and two, because of the nature, none of our committees actually would cover kind of that, these things in broad category. So if there's something that's transportation, for instance, that very clearly falls under transportation task force or the welfare committee, right? So something that's standing rules, which is basically the basis of the role of the parliamentarian, that is an executive committee, this administration. These are administration resolutions that need to...
So we took the time for it to...
No, not at all. We're actually not limiting the time. That right now, the way it's written with 30 days, it says no more than 30 days. So it means that we're actually limiting the time people can take to review. What we're saying now is take off the cap so that it's an unlimited time for review by a committee before it ever comes here. So if the EA says that this is...
I thought a resolution being presented to the way
for the following... Not necessarily. Some things can be presented as new business, or if the executive vice chair adds something to the agenda as business of the day, that's different. If it is a charter change, for a charter and bylaws very specifically are not allowed to be voted upon at the same meeting they're presented. They have to be presented, I think it's two meetings prior, before they are able to be voted on. So they're very specific. For the charter and bylaws is very specific. For other items, the practices, it introduces new business.
So we've never practiced this. We're just, it just seems to me that through all the years we've been doing this, that it's presented to us as a resolution, is presented to the committee. Now we have time until the next meeting to review it, then we discuss it, then we vote on it. We don't bring it up to the meeting, present it, and vote on it right away.
Right.
Because then it is holding up or making people not review. And now you're pressuring the committee to make a judgment at that point. So are you saying we can then say, put a recommendation in to table it until the following meeting? I guess I just don't see, when we're putting up a resolution mm-hmm. for the committee for the very first time, that we have the ability to vote on it right then.
You actually can. As long as something is designated as business of the day, it can be voted on. So if something starts as new business, right? If something is
okay,
proposed
so,
that...
So this resolution has never been new business.
It is
so
not.
You're saying that you can now say, the heck with new business, we're not just making this business of the day.
Essentially, the executive committee can do that. That's actually the charge of the executive vice chair.
I understand what you're losing. I just disagree. I can disagree.
You can.
We should be able to have a time to review.
Well, that's
of this, and instead of just saying, okay, we agree, we vote on it, we're done.
You have the one. That's why the agenda is sent out in advance. And if people have, if people have comments, questions, things they want to bring up, they mark them and they bring them up at the meeting. Or you can talk to the sponsor beforehand. That's one option. At the meeting, if something is business of the day, it's eligible for multiple motions.
So it's only a committee that can make it business of the day?
No, so we need to make a clear distinction. There's a committee, and then there's the assembly. The assembly is not a committee. So the only thing that we're taking out of here, the provision that we're changing is that resolutions must be reviewed by the appropriate committee before they come to the assembly. That's what this clause says. If the committee doesn't approve of it or wants to revise it or something else, or does approve of it, when it comes to the floor of the assembly, a rationale needs to be provided for what the committee discussed, what were the thoughts. The assembly still maintains the ability to vote it down, to approve it, to table it indefinitely, to table it until another meeting, to do whatever, so long as it is eligible for those motions, whether it is new business or business of the day. Does that make sense?
The body can also move things on the agenda. It could be an amendment to the agenda to move something from new business to business of the day or report to be acted upon. So that's not an executive, right. They're the only body that can do that. It would be the vote of the whole assembly to put something on the, to move something up on the agenda to have it be voted upon. So I think Ulysses is quite right. The idea of getting the agenda with all the attachments ahead of time gives some opportunity to review. But if you see something that is going to be voted on that hasn't been fully discussed, or there's value to discussing it around the table in addition to your constituents, the body can decide.
Okay. A good example would be, the Ithaca plan. It was presented to the floor as new business first. People gave thoughts and just initial thoughts, clarifications, questions, no debate. It was brought back a second meeting as business of the day. At that point, it was tabled until we finished a public comment period. And so that was the stipulation. So that's what happened. And it was brought back after that public comment period finished with the comments attached, and it was eligible for a vote. And at that meeting, I said, you can call it to question. You can motion to table it, which would have been the end, because that was the end of that term, that legislative term. This is that we're in a new legislative term. The thing that we really did last term doesn't apply, for the record. Or you can do whatever else you want to do, change it, amend it, whatever you say, you don't want anything else in there. So it's,
and to that point, that whole process for the Ithaca plan, using that as the example, took much longer than 30 days.
Exactly.
So according to the original language here, that there would have been a cap of 30 days. There's just the idea here is removing that, so that that kind of robust conversation, the back and forth, the time necessary to get something ready for the floor, you can have.
Right.
And Kevin, to your the other part of your question there, the two resolutions that are in business of the day today have been reviewed by committee already. They've been reviewed by the executive committee before being brought to the assembly.
I totally understand okay. that. What I'm saying is that if it's going to come up to assembly for review, that it should be under new business. It shouldn't be just thrown in after a committee reviews to, and then just be on business of the day, so that it could just.
And you're welcome to make that
be
motion.
And then be voted on. I just think things happen when you start doing that, because like you said, you know, it goes on our agenda. There's a lot of times that we're just so busy to do it. This is our opportunity to have it presented, have it given by the sponsor of what it is for and everything, and then give us time to review it instead of saying, well, we put it on the agenda. Sorry if you didn't read it. That's all I'm just saying is, like, it just seems as the process goes that it should be presented to the assembly for the very first time, and then you have time to review. I mean, you meet every 2 weeks. I just don't see what the urgency of pushing, unless something like this, you know, with the trustees totally understand, then that goes to the peer for special consideration. Right. Understand that totally.
Yeah.
Just so that it will get done. I just don't think pushing a resolution to the assembly without ample time to review and then just go to vote. Because I think what you can end up doing is just saying people say, well, then they're turning it down.
And if you feel that either one of these resolutions requires more review before it's voted on, you have the ability to make that motion that it needs to be tabled.
Make the motion and then have people vote on it saying, no, we had enough time.
Right.
When you didn't have enough time. I just think what happens is just not fair to the assembly, to everybody, to push a resolution. And that's what I call it.
When resolutions were presented in the past, they were presented as, this is the first time this assembly has heard of it, we will not be able to vote on it until at least the next meeting or something like that.
I thought that was the verb.
In the past, and no, I haven't been through our bylaws line for line, word for word, to see if that appears in there, but that was my understanding in the past.
That has been the practice and will continue to be the practice. When that when an item is brought for the first time to the assembly, it is presented as new business, which is what this pertains to, right? It says something before it's designated as new business must go through a committee first. Committee, assembly is new business. At that meeting, now you all can vote, as Gina said, at that first meeting when it's first introduced, if it's something like, for instance, the UA resolutions that are recognized, like in recognition of people, for instance, or the resolutions that were memorializing people that we passed. If people said, this doesn't warrant like two more meetings of discussion, somebody motions to move it to business of the day, changing it to business of the day by that vote allows people to, that one now?
Pilar has.
Okay.
She's not.
She has to go. Oh, you have to leave. Oh, bye, Pilar. Sorry about that. Take care. By that vote, if you move it to business of the day, that makes it eligible for a vote. Doesn't mean it has to be voted upon. It makes it eligible for the vote. The distinction between new business and business of the day is if it is listed as new business, it is only open for comments and clarifying questions. Things cannot be argumentative in nature. We no debate. When something is business of the day, it can be debated heavily, discussed, you can argue, do whatever you want to do, and you can make other motions like tabling something until the next meeting, tabling it indefinitely, making amendments to something, right? All of that, or voting to approve it, or calling it to question, right? Those are the things that make things eligible under business of the day. So our practice will be new business, then business of the day, as long as it goes through a committee first. Our bylaws say that we need to pass our standing rules at our first meeting, right? So that's why the standing rules were presented as business of the day. So it would be open for this type of discussion and amendments that needed to be made. The reason why the trustee one is exactly what you said is because it was a request by the board to actually put that forward to them and they meet sooner rather than later. So that's why. But the process will still remain committee, new business of the day. The only part that's changed is we're actually saying you need to go through a committee first.
It almost seems like what it needs to do is to go to new business first in order for that to be directed to a committee.
Once
the committee is done, then it seems like then you can put it on as business of the day.
So if it came here first, it would probably be a topic. For instance, when Michelle brought the topic of contract employees to the floor, they'd be like, we want to have that, and we want that topic to be reviewed by a committee.
Right.
A resolution can't come here. Right.
That's what I'm saying. But in order for anything to go to a committee, it seems like the assembly should see it first. As under new business.
I mean, that would, I guess maybe I'm not being as clear as I thought. So a resolution can't come to the assembly first, right? Because then you're denying even just, not just you all, but staff members the opportunity to participate. That's the whole point of the committees. Our committees are staffed with you all and staff population. So if something comes, if your premise is we should bring a resolution to here first and then refer it to committee,
No,
the
not
assumption.
A resolution until it becomes, I'm just saying, new business is solely that. It's what is a topic of a resolution.
Right.
So it's not a resolution yet. What I'm saying is you're trying to make it a resolution, but you want it to go to a committee.
Well, I would even call that business of the day. That's a topic. Like when we have a speaker here, or if Michelle brought the employee who wanted to discuss that to the meeting, and we put that on the agenda. You've seen previously, Jeremy has put discussion and put the topic as business, and for that's under business of the day, because we're going to entertain a lively discussion on it. If at the end of that discussion we say this should go to X committee, and we want to hear what that committee has to say on this and explore it further, that committee can decide to say, you know, with smoking, for instance, from the UA, we either want a resolution that's going to come forward with an actual recommendation, or we just have a different recommendation that says something else. Here's what the committee discussed. We thought this should be something that HR looks into, not a formal action because it's not in our jurisdiction. It could be different things. So I think the premise that maybe I'm getting caught up on is that a formal action doesn't need to be here first. It needs to be with employees.
No, I think what I'm asking is, like, with your new website, for instance, is it just seems that the assembly itself should be able to go in and review, and maybe they can, is what are the things in committee that is being discussed. So then we have knowledge of when it does come here, that we are more aware of what's coming up. I just don't think, you know, if we're looking at open, being open here, I just don't know if, you know.
Well, the committee agenda and minutes are also posted on the website.
Right, I don't care about them. I wanna see what the topics are in each individual committee that have been brought up by the executive committee to get it to them or whatever, instead of waiting for it to be brought here.
That truthfully would be in the minutes of like the agenda and the minutes of those committees. So, if, I mean, it'll be different now with the new website, but currently on the dashboard, when you click a committee and you click their meeting, like the link to one of their meetings, you can see what the items on their agenda are. And separately, you can click their minutes to see what was discussed. So same discussion we had in the UA around the tobacco thing when you were like, what information have you all been relying on? And I said, you can go back and look at each one of our meetings to see all of our packets from what we discussed and what information was there. So then the onus then is on each of you, if you're interested in knowing what a committee is discussing, to go in and check however the new site will be framed.
It's going to be very similar to the dashboard.
To go in and do that and check up on that. I mean, that's really the only solution I have, unless.
We haven't envisioned it differently, but be happy to talk with you further to understand really if there are tools or mechanisms that would help you get the information you need differently. Let's have that conversation.
Michelle, you raised your hand, I'm sorry.
I was just thinking of clarification of the term topic versus resolution when we were having this discussion, not to beat this horse anymore.
Yeah. So when, at least the way I was understanding topic was, for instance, again, using you as an example, when you said, when there's a call for an agenda item, and then you say, I would like us to discuss.
Bring this up.
Right. Can we discuss this? Or when Christine said, can we discuss? Didn't you? You sent something for discussion.
Then it went to the personnel committee and we never heard back. But we went further discussion with the trustees.
Correct. Correct. So, but a resolution would be if there was an actual formal action.
Forward,
correct.
I don't think
apparently Mary suggested that we look into the layoff policy. And looking to change that. So we discussed that at the, Laura?
Can we make a proposal that we have a section in our agenda devoted to committee reports. I think it ought to be that every committee says what are the topics they're discussing that they're proposing for resolutions. That might satisfy Kevin's desire, which I share, to know what the heck is going on in the committee before all of a sudden we have a resolution. And even if the resolution comes out in the agenda, several days to a week before we have our meeting, it would be really nice to have it verbally stated in one of our meetings so we all hear, hey, the executive committee is talking about updating the standing rules. And then if somebody has a comment about standing rules that they've a burning desire to talk about, what are the penalties for people who don't attend meetings?
Yeah.
Which is left off here that we can discuss by default. Then it gives them a chance to sort of insert it early on in the process.
And as you very clearly just stated, that what you're proposing is in the bylaws. We put that in the bylaws. That was part of that discussion. So it says very explicitly, after a regular meeting of a committee, that committee must make a report, must give a report at the regular assembly meeting. And as I've said, once the assembly starts meeting regularly in term, all the committees that have been in the past couple meetings will be listed on the agenda, and the expectation is that you will have a report. So for those committee chairs. So.
Which is just that brief overview of what we're discussing.
When's your next meeting?
Because you'll be seeing that each agenda.
So that does apply. And what you also just mentioned is in the bylaws for what the penalties for attendance. It's in the bylaws now. That was the unseating a member. Yeah. Sorry about that. try to cover everything. Other questions on this amendment? Seeing none, I'm going to call that amendment to question. All those in favor of the amendment, please raise your placard at this point. Note the amendment is just striking for no more than 30 days. Blase, blase. Got it. All those opposed? All those who abstain? The amendment passes. All right, back into general discussion. Was there anything else? Yes. So,
general procedure. I think it's always good practice to have your policies support your practices. So if there is a general consensus to do what Ulysses just described, this is how things naturally progress. If the body feels that that's important, it would be helpful. So if you have a question, what your practice is to put that into either your standing rules or your bylaws. So if Kevin and people were so inclined to make that, what you and Ulysses were just discussing, clarify that, I would encourage you to consider doing that. Again, so that it's really clear, anytime there's a question, you can go back to your governing guidance and find out what the procedure is. It's going to be helpful. Particularly as this is new, remember you all, this is a much bigger, more engageable assembly, and I think it will be important to make sure that everybody's singing from the same song sheet. So the more you can do that, I encourage you to do that.
And on that same note, the standing rules, unlike the bylaws and the charter, can be amended pretty easily. And so if you come back at our next meeting and you say, well, when the call for agenda items goes out, you say, I want to add this to the standing rules, this provision, that can be done pretty easily. It's the bylaws and the charter that require a bit more time. We still introduce it as new business, and then we can move it to business of the day if people feel like it doesn't warrant like three discussions. But that is certainly your prerogative and anybody else's prerogative to do that as well. So just connect with Pilar if you wanna, just so she's clear and in the loop. Was there anything else that, I can't remember if we discussed that, and that's everything else that we discussed in exactly.
The only other thing was the
items. Yes. You wanna put that in here?
Well, I think we're going to put it in the charter, but this is a place to start.
You're right.
Move it along.
Yep, you're right. Did you write that or did I? Was I supposed to do that right now? Oops. So I think, let me see if I missed.
Would it be appropriate to describe it?
Yes. Do you want to go ahead while I write?
So all of the actions of the assembly are transmitted by the chair to the president of the university. The last resolution, every resolution, it's transmitted through what we call the actions list. The actions list is a very, very specific group of people. It's all of the chairs or presidents of the assemblies, the elected trustees, a few, the representative executives, so Joel for the UA, Mary for the EA, Ryan for the SA, GPSA, and the president, whoever the president designates. And this is the formal record of the transmittal of the legislature. And president the response to that same group through the actions list. And that's where it ends, unless the president or chair shares it with the assembly or with the committee. It's my recommendation, I'll be going to each of the assemblies to ask their consideration, your consideration, to codify the sharing of that so that the assembly is aware of how the president has responded to all of your legislation. You can go to the dashboard and you can read it, and if you're so inclined, you might do that, particularly if you have a vested interest in some of those resolutions. But this way, at a regular meeting or some whatever fashion, you will be notified of the president's response and how that piece of legislation. There are three things the president can do: accept it, return it, or ask for reconsideration. Usually there are specific things that the president will request. So it's a way to keep in mind the purview and the jurisdiction of the different assemblies, how the president has responded. And when you go back to the dashboard, then you can see how the president responded, what that actually means, the impact that you had on the issue. So we had this conversation. I had suggested perhaps putting in standing rules, and the committee suggested that perhaps putting that in the charter, which takes a little bit longer to use, but a few larger to generate that language. Then, so you'll see that come through at some point for your consideration.
Great. That being said, we're going to move to amend Article 2, Part D, or Section D, of it to say the chair must distribute all responses to actions of the EA to the members list. Period. That's it. And as Jeremy just pointed out, I'll also share that information during the report from the chair if we've gotten a response at that point. That work for me? There a second to that amendment?
Second.
Discussion on that amendment. Seeing none, I'm going to ask if we approve this by unanimous consent. So I don't have to count. Is there any dissent to doing that? Fantastic. Great. Approved. All right. Is that everything we discussed in exec? Is there anything else that needs to be brought up about the standing rules? Are there any motions at this time?
Motion to approve.
There's been a call to question. Is there a second?
Sorry.
It has been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we will vote on the standing rules. All those in favor of approving the standing rules, please raise your placards now or a hand, whatever works. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. All those opposed. Was that opposition? No. All those who abstain. Right. 18 to 0. Are you popular? 18 to 0. The resolution passes. Moving on to the next item that is business today is Resolution 2, fostering meaningful employee engagement. I don't know why I just didn't take the page, but I probably would have been smarter. At this point, I forgot. At this point, I'm going to sit down this chair for the duration of this while Jeremy acts so vibrant. I'm going to actually share my screen, if that's okay.
Sure, no problem.
Give me 2 seconds. Let me actually pull this up. And hopefully nothing shuts down on me like it just did 2 seconds ago. Come on, that's what I want. I just want this. All right, now let's do Zoom. Share my screen. We're gonna do, I don't know if it's actually going to do what I want it to do. Clearly not. 2 seconds, folks. I promise I'm going to make it work. All right. Okay, Carrie. All good. Okay. Like we're not. So I'm really going to go. I'm going to go through this very briefly because this is. It was essentially a 4-minute report that I might have extended to 8 minutes. Well, I think the 4 minutes presentation for questions were asked, so it's like 8 minutes it is, that we gave to the Board of Trustees. And this explains the rationale for Resolution 2. So essentially, as you all know, we're charged with trying to represent over 8,000 staff who are based on the Ithaca and Geneva campuses only, so not including the Weill or Tech campuses at this juncture. And you see the basic demographic breakdown of our workforce there. This is just me helping to show who the trustees are, to the trustees, who staff were, folks who literally build the institution, who maintain the institution and our grounds, who keep us fed, who keep us healthy and safe, who advise our most vulnerable populations on campus, and ultimately those folks who do make some of the institution's most decisions. What's interesting that we focused on in this presentation was really talking about some of the changing demographics just because they needed data in order to make some things make sense. So we focused on talking about looking at the age of the workforce, right? So seeing that, again, as we've been talking about a lot in this group, the number of folks you saw Linda Crowell Howell come in and give a presentation, the number of folks who are going to be eligible for retirement or who actually are eligible for retirement within our workforce now stands at about 2% or so, right, who could retire today. Or something that might be a little higher for people who'd be eligible in 5 years, or it might have those numbers reversed. So the population of folks who are going to be exiting the workforce is going to be a pretty significant, right, considering 22% of 8,000 people. This was the rationale for creating or having a retiree seat on the assembly. At the same time, a much younger workforce enter in Cornell's ranks. And so the whole takeaway from this slide was just saying that over the last five fiscal years, but this is just three because that's all that would fit. The last three fiscal years, we've seen a pretty steady increase in the number of millennials who are entering into the workforce, while we have a steady decline in baby boomers. So that was really the impetus here. So we're going to see that there's some differences in communication styles, there's some differences in expectations of the workforce that we were trying to harp on just a bit. So just thinking of a study that was done by Deloitte recently, this actually last year, showed that about 66% of millennials expected to leave their institution within the next 5 years, right? That's pretty significant, right? Of those, you have about 25% who said, and this is not the 27, you have the 25% who want to leave their organization or leave the organization within a year, right? So again, 20-something percent, like a quarter of the population of our workforce, think about that, who would be looking to depart if they got in. So that's it's a pretty sizable chunk. So we don't say this to suggest that there are a whole bunch of kind of insurmountable differences between all of the demographics, all of the age groups that are in the workforce, because in fact, millennials actually share some of the exact same expectations. So this is Institute for Business Value. They actually did a study that examined a whole bunch of studies on on demographics in the workforce, and then just looking at people's responses to certain behaviors or certain kind of long-term goals. And it showed that across, you know, Generation X, baby boomers and such, y'all could have told me it was off the screen. sorry about that. Oh, it's a projector. But we actually have the same long-term goals for the most part. There's very few differences in how we expect to be treated in the workforce. Expectation, debunk the myth right now that all millennials expect to be the vice president within the first 2 months of being here. Because if you look, the indicator down that's, who expects to become a senior leader, that's actually at 18% across the board for all generations. It wasn't millennials expecting to be there. So everybody, and it's pretty far down when you look at an indicator. So taking that and just all of that to say that same study revealed that there are about four key questions that employees ask themselves when they're looking to stay at an organization or give an employee their best. Is this an organization I can be proud of? Do I agree with the values of the organization? Do I subscribe to them? Am I able to maximize my job performance and do my best, give it my all here? Am I treated well? Am I treated well economically and interpersonally? So am I valued, right, as an employee? Am I being compensated fairly and appropriately? Am I treated with respect in the workplace, regardless of whatever demographic I come from? And then do I actually find this enjoyable? Do I find the work enjoyable? Am I able to really align my skills with things like that? So that's really what this was saying. And then finally, we use example of the housing master plan that we talked about with the provost when he came here and presented about how the plan increases the number of students, it increases the number of physical spaces, and it eliminates parking lots. And so we harped on parking and said, let's take the employee considerations, the demographics of employees. The majority of employees live in Tompkins County. A significant chunk live outside of Tompkins County and have to commute. There are actually 170 employees who live outside of New York State altogether. So they are remote employees. Remote employees, as well as folks who live in Pennsylvania, who actually commute in about 2 hours a day. There was that. Talked about limited investment in TCAT and other decline in federal funding for other systems, saying that when you have decreased routes, people can't get to work, and you're eliminating parking and making the price extremely high. You're not taking into account the increased workload that you're asking from employees because you didn't make it clear we're actually going to hire more staff, or if you were just increasing the number of buildings and increasing the workload of people across the board. So if I have to take care of a family and I have to figure out a way to feed them and commute in and out here, in and out of here all the time with no transportation, and then I have more work to do on top of that, and I'm not being compensated appropriately, leads to dissatisfaction, right? Increased dissatisfaction. Everybody's totally dissatisfied. There are some folks who would say, well, but the benefits are great, so I'm cool. But there are other, you know, there are others who'd say, not. So we use that example to say, if you really want to get a better sense of what employees are thinking and the actual impact of some of your major decisions on the workforce in particular, you need to actually create a board level committee that is charged specifically looking at that. It's while the done its part in becoming more representative and trying to get people engaged due to our restructure, we can't, there are some things that are beyond our scope, right? And when it comes to the actual analysis, that needs to be done by the board and by, you know, senior leadership. That has to be done there. They need to talk about how to engage staff in the actual mission of the institution. So that's what we were saying. And then finally, you know, not just for the sake of equity, because it just doesn't make sense, numbers-wise, 2 student elected trustees for 20,000 plus students, 2 faculty elected trustees for 1,600 faculty, and then 1 employee elected trustee for 8,000 plus staff. That number is actually way over 10,000 if you count Weill Cornell, who's in the room for the board of trustees meeting, separate from the EA though, and they have their own board of overseers. But so this is all that this proposal is saying. So they ask that this be submitted in resolution form. Okay, longer than I thought. Go ahead, Chair.
Do you want to introduce the resolution itself?
Oh, the resolution itself says just that. It really just says the two, I mean, looking at the resolve clauses, it really does just state the 2 items that we just discussed. So saying to create the committee on the workforce and add an additional employee elected trustee. The whereas clauses are just general information about what this assembly does, and then previous legislative history that Gina found on where previous chair of the assembly actually did propose this in 2003. I couldn't find the response from the president on there, so not sure what the response was, but clearly it didn't happen. So, so I think we safe to assume that it was a no. But hopefully, thinking of the lens of employee engagement and changing kind of the dynamics of the changing workforce, that will bolster this. One of the things we did discuss in exec that Gina brought up that we could consider here was whether or not we wanted to go the extra step at this point to say that, you know, one of the employee trustees needs to be an exempt employee, one needs to be non-exempt, or do we say one is endowed and one is statutory? Do we go the extra mile and say that? As I said, we don't necessarily, I'm fine with doing it either way. Which one would be better would be a discussion if you all want to have it. And then also, since we don't necessarily control the trustee election process, that's the office that controls it, is there a marketing, is there just something about targeted marketing that should be done? If you see that one trustee who's elected currently, since the terms are staggered, is endowed or statutory or exempt, you want to get somebody who's the opposite. So, go ahead.
The basis for that is there are 2 student elected trustees, and the only designation is that they're students. The undergraduates and the graduate professional students sort of have an informal understanding of the staggering and that there's ownership. As far as a chartered university, it just calls for 2 students. So I was thinking along those same lines. Is there a designation that would be helpful to make sure that the staff community is best represented?
Do we know the approximate split of exempt, non-exempt, and statutory endowed?
We can get that.
I mean, that would be helpful to me. I think one from each represented constituency, but I'm not sure where the line goes.
Any questions for Ulysses?
I wish Tanya was in the room because I think it's on the HR dashboard, but don't quote me on that.
You're still on screen, by the way.
I know.
Okay.
I know, but it's just not going to be on there. Oh, don't wait on me. I was just pulling this up for my own.
I was making sure I could see Carrie to make sure I wasn't getting a hand.
Oh, sorry.
Does anyone have anything they'd like to bring up on this? Any motion?
I guess the only thing I'd like to bring up is I would see, I don't think statutory endowed is a huge deal when you're looking at employee benefits, stuff like that. But I do see a benefit for exempt quarterly. I do see that as being.
That's where I would lean, but I just didn't know what the splits were on. If it was really heavy one way or the other, then, you know, maybe not that way. I don't know. That's what I said. I wasn't sure where the line should be.
Tanya, do you know if, I might just be about to answer my own question. Sensei, do you know if the, because I'm not seeing the total breakdown the way we want it. I only see by like compensation grade, college unit, but I don't know if we break down between or by exempt and non-exempt in the headcount. Just because there was a question about what's the headcount of exempt to non-exempt staff. And I can't find it on here, but bless you. Maybe total headcount? Yeah, but.
I would say the only concern that I might express in actually codifying a split like that is if we fail to get a representative from one of those two groups, it could be a limiting factor on having an additional trustee on the board, and I think that could be an issue. So it's just something to think about.
And could a resolution be written that way if, you know, highly recommended one from exempt, one non-exempt, however, if there is no candidate from.
I think that's what I'm getting at, is maybe that if we're going to codify it, we should probably leave an escape hatch.
Or just don't codify.
That,
I'm not sure the meetings. Yeah.
Are they faculty? Are they sector? Are they teaching faculty? The definition of faculty is very limited. Very, very good.
Anyone else?
Just a comment on the leaving the escape hatch or not codifying. I would, for my personal preference, I would prefer to see that it was spelled out with an escape hatch rather than left to, you know, people's good judgment, shall we say, and informal arrangements, because I think that goes a long way towards restoring faith for people that could feel that something was being stacked or that it was going in a direction. If they see, hey, we'd like this and like this, but if there's no candidate, then we're going to fill it with the available people, you know, and then that way it also lets them know, hey, we're trying to represent you. You got to put somebody forward.
And I've actually got a question on that maybe somebody else can answer, which is specific to this resolution. This is going to the Board of Trustees, so that clarification, is that really necessary to include in this resolution, or is that something that we include in our own internal documents, standing rules, bylaws, to say this is how we do this in the case that this is actually approved for having a second seat? Because it really isn't important to the Board of Trustees how we select those, if they approve the two seats. So I just putting forward maybe this isn't the appropriate place for that definition.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm also wondering, because our current employee elected trustee only very rarely attends is there any way, if we had an internal document that was sort of more how this is operationalized, can we strongly encourage that the employee elected trustee attends the vast majority of our employees? Because I think government possibly represent the interests of the employees at Cornell, and they're not allowed to be EA members right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they don't attend our meetings, what do they do when we're discussing? And certainly there are more issues, you know, there's a broader grouping of issues that we are able to discuss, but if they're not even necessarily aware of them, that's here, I think that is a potential issue.
Yeah. I will say, kind of on that same note, because I agree with you that I think should be here. He is an ex officio member, so he is on the list. He is on the list, gets everything. And we do meet
monthly. We have monthly meetings set up with Mary. So it's Jeremy, Chad, and myself who meet with Mary. So we do at that point do discuss everything that's coming up.
Yeah, it kind of goes the other direction, which is instead of them coming here to listen to this, we go there to provide kind of the executive summary of what we've been talking about over the last X amount of time. I agree it would be better to have him here attending regularly, but it's not like he's not getting it at all.
I did tell him that from now on he's going to be a regular fixture on the agenda. So having that report, that's why you had an employee elected trustee report.
Chad and the student elected trustees as well. They just finished the very, very busy board sessions around commencement, and they all serve on the presidential search committee and selection committee. So they were really, really engaged in a lot of high level committee things that just took up that bandwidth of time that they might have otherwise. So I think that the executive committee meetings with Mary has served a little bit of a purpose. And I think I don't want to speak for Chad or either Dara or Yamini, but I know they all expressed really wishing they could have attended. Students needed to do their work, and I'm sure Chad's, he also had to do his selection for the next things too. I think strongly encouraging is a good way to do it. But in their defense, they just finished a really, really busy session last week. So.
So
Tanya has
Can I share your screen, Tanya?
No, I can't. No, confidentially.
Oh, I gotcha.
I mean, physically, I could, but
gotcha. Okay.
Appropriateness, I should not.
Right.
Yeah. Not every employee like.
Right.
Sure.
So, I just did a quick. So this is not exact, but I pulled out faculty and union. But this is temporary, regular. Academic
non-professorial staff. So statutory 3,651, endowed 6,501, roughly. So 3,600 statutory, 6,500 endowed. That I don't have. I mean, with that, I'd have to go through very clearly pulling out each job classification, which probably, I could get those numbers, but take a little more manipulation right here. I can.
Yeah, which were not included in those other numbers. We did a breakout.
Right, our 8,500 number doesn't include.
It does not include those folks. All right.
If you want those numbers, I need to work.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the other ones we can get from the HR one, but I pulled out those other populations so that we were only focusing on, except that's where the 8,000 came from. Yeah. But it's all good. So is anybody looking to make that amendment or no? Because if people are not interested in that, then we won't. But if yes, then we can. How about I'm going to oppose the amendment. I'll say move to amend so line 31. So to add in line 31 another resolve clause to say, be it therefore resolved that every effort is made to have one exempt employee elected trustee, one non-exempt employee elected trustee. Right. So it's every effort is made. It doesn't mean that it has to happen, but we try. You know, also remember we don't control the trustee process at all. Yeah, so it's been
we have a second. All those in favor?
Well, it's a college question first.
Well, I thought they just did.
Yeah, they called the amendment to question. They just seconded my amendment, which means we can discuss the amendment.
Motion to call the question, the amendment.
Do we want to have discussion before we call this amendment to question? Thank you. We have a second. Second. All those in favor?
Oh,
Oh, me too. You don't get to vote.
I don't. Yay, Gary. We see you.
All those opposed?
Thank you.
Okay, gotcha.
And abstentions. Just me. 18-01, the amendment passes. Is there any further discussion on the main body of the resolution? Go ahead, Michelle.
I'm wondering if on line 16 it should say employees over 10,000 instead of 8,000 and be 8,000 an old number. Because when I'm adding up, it's just in depth statutory is coming up to.
So her number.
My numbers had other people in the that are.
Okay.
So it included like temporary.
Temporaries.
And all those
okay. Of the academic numbers.
Right.
Yeah. But line 17 doesn't say regular staff. It just says, staff. So I think maybe the 10,000 numbers.
Or adjusted to regular staff.
Hold on, give me 2 seconds.
Trustees,
so here,
may not be part of our organization, but they still are on campus. They still are affected by all of these issues. And you've started.
So here are the current numbers that were pulled just from Workday from the HR dashboards. Mm-hmm. So that those are the numbers of non-academic staff, of union staff, and non-professorial academic staff. So it doesn't include temporary staff, which are by definition not included in our charter. Mm-hmm. And they are, and anybody else who doesn't fall under any of those things are not included in the EA's charter. That was a discussion I remember we had a couple of years ago when I wasn't on the EA, but I was temp, and I was like, y'all don't represent me. That's why there was some fluctuation between, I think at some point it was like 8,630 something, and then at another point we checked it was like 8,500 and something. So I just said over 8,000, so it wouldn't be too
ridiculous. Right. But we hear those news flashes when we have to close down due to weather or something, how many people are affected and employees and stuff.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah.
The number of
They would be included in remote staff.
And I think on the temp staff piece too, it could also a slippery slope because right now the university is flush with temp staff because we hire for reunions and mm-hmm. commencement and all those kinds of things. So that number changes quite a bit. So I think I like the idea of the 8,000 plus number.
I did think about including way over 10,000. So that wild would be the most of the case, but it
would confuse things actually.
But and tech is in that, represented in that.
Tech is represented in this. Yeah. Tech is represented in this account, not in the wild ones.
So how about whereas the employee assembly represents over 8,000 employees?
I'm fine. I don't care either way.
And do we need to also add in there Tech Campus, since we reference Ithaca and Geneva? If we're including Tech Campus, so on line 17, step on the Ithaca and Geneva campuses, do we want Tech Campus in there?
Actually, I might have to correct myself. I actually don't think Tech is included in this, in the headcount that I looked at on the HR dashboard.
Okay, so mine included Tech as well.
Mine includes Tech, yeah.
And
there's a reason for that.
Because we don't represent them yet.
Yeah. Our charter was the part that was declined. One of the parts that was declined in our charter was that the additional Cornell Tech. We are not supposed to. We don't represent Cornell Tech.
And you don't represent Cornell Tech because the university charter doesn't include New York City right now. It's only the Ithaca and Geneva campuses. At some point, that will change, and it can be a different discussion. But currently, that's what it is.
Because we're at time, so we've got to move this off.
Yeah, we're about to. Anything is there anything further? Do we have a motion?
That formal amendment?
Pardon me?
That formal amendment?
I say leave it at 8,000. That's the final number.
Do we have a motion on the main body of the resolution?
A motion to call the resolution question.
Motion to second. All those in favor?
We got you.
All those opposed? Has anyone abstained? Is there one? The motion passes. And I can actually give it back, control back to you.
Great. We've expired our time in the meeting, so I'm not going to keep you here for all the other things. It's been fun, like, to bring your stuff in. Do a little lecture thing. Yes, we're not going to get to that.
Do we have a date for our or anything?
Not yet. Okay. Give me a minute, but we'll get back there. In July, there will be a retreat.
I'm just thinking because so many people calendars book up really quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially in the summer.
We'll get there, yeah.
At what point do we say what committees we'd like to serve on?
That was going to be today. Discussion has been a little longer than I thought.
Will there be another June meeting?
17.
Oh, shoot. 21st. Question. Before we go, and adjourn. So right now, on the calendar, we have a meeting set for the 21st of this month. I know a couple people can't make it. Do we prefer as a body meeting to vote now? Do we prefer to keep the meeting or not keep the meeting? If we keep the meeting, we will finish our internal elections for sure, and maybe do some sort of team vote. If not, and if anything else comes up between them that we have to consider, then we'll do headshots. Yes. All that good stuff. If not, then we just won't meet until our first meeting in August.
That's,
or in our
that's
retreat
different.
In July.
We're going to get you photo to do it.
I don't know. One and two people are missing.
Okay, so three people
out of 28.
Can we ask people to go to the calendar and accept or decline the meeting? And then, if we don't have a quorum, then there's no quorum.
Yeah, you need to do that if you have not accepted or declined those meeting invitations, one that impacts food orders and such. So you kind of need to do that.
Did everyone get the invitations yesterday?
Yeah. Okay. So please do that, and then I'll send out a reminder email. So that hearing motion to adjourn the required meeting time, goodbye.
You know, bye, Carrie. Close.
My hands are tingling. Thank you.
I am so ready for 90-degree weather.
It's been a really cold season so far.
I feel like that meeting is not ended. Why am I still in this? I just want to leave the meeting. Okay, well.
Hey, how are you?
I'm still sharing. That's why.
There you are. So,